can hear. VNN, Vortex Network News, broadcasting live from Sedona, Arizona. I'm Aurora Light, your host, and I want to welcome you to a very exciting hour. And with me today I have William Alec. We're going to talk a little bit about, welcome William. Thank you for being with us again today. Okay, so, hi, William. Are you there?
I'm right here, Roy.
Really? No one would know it. You know that? It's interesting. So, I think I'm going to be doing the show here alone today. I've had enough technical problems here already this morning. It's kind of curling my hair. So I haven't been able to hear the opening, so I'm sorry about the long opening that you were listening to, because we had a little technical glitch over here. So last night I noticed on the national news there was a segment about UFOs over Sacramento, California, for the last 2 weeks being sighted in that community. So those of you who have any information on that, who may be listening to the show right now, you can feel free to contact us, the show, through Achieve Radio. And we could talk a little bit about it if you're one of the people who've been sighting these ships out there on a regular basis. Apparently, they're quite prominent and have a lot of blinking lights going off and on and all that, and all kinds of interesting things. So if you have any more information on what's going on there in Sacramento, I'd like to hear it. When I first moved into Sedona about a week ago, I noticed that it was about 2-3 weeks ago, actually, the first time I noticed that these ships keep coming in and going over the mountains over here just slightly east of us. And they would come in from the west and go over Sedona and go out through these mountains over there on the east. And I saw that happening more than once now since I've been here. So I'm curious, those of you who have had sightings and have had no place really to disclose the information on it, please get in contact with me at Vortex Network News. And you can find all the contact information on the website there. and love to hear from you. Also, now that we're in the Sedona area, I would really love to show you around here if you'd like to come into town and see the vortexes. Michael Elijan has been doing vortex work here for quite some time. And now that we're here permanently, he's going to be able to show you what's going on here in the vortexes, do the meditations. A lot of people have had interesting experiences with these meditations here with the vortexes. So, if you get a chance to come to Sedona, get in contact us, check out UFOSkywatch.com and VortexToursOfSedona.com. And we'll be able to help you out there with some information. And if you would like to give us a call, we have an 800 number, 800-422-0808 on that. And I am doing my consultations here, health consultations to help people rejuvenate themselves, body, mind, and spirit. So we're getting quite busy here with our work and with all the rearranging of our lives here in Sedona. First of all, I want to say the energy here is just awesome. So check it out and check out the websites, and hopefully you'll get a chance to come here and visit. I'm having a very special guest today, and one I'm very excited about having on. We've had him on before, and it was incredibly interesting, and we're going to have him on again today. His name is Stephen Bassett, and he is a leading advocate in the nation for ending the 61-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. He's a political activist, a lobbyist, and a commentator and a columnist. He is the founder of the Paradigm Research Group, the executive director of the Extraterrestrial Phenomenon Political Action Committee, and the creator of the Paradigm Clock, the executive producer of the X Conference, and his work has been covered extensively inside and outside the United States. And he has a website, ParadigmResearchGroup.org. You might want to go to it and check out why we're talking to him here. Since 1996, Stephen Bassett has assisted numerous organizations and initiatives working to raise public awareness and congressional hearings to take government witnesses' testimony, and trying to end the truth embargo. He has appeared on hundreds of radio and television talk shows, numerous documentaries, and speaking to millions of people about the implications and the likelihood of disclosure. The formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by world governments. In 1995, Bassett decided to bring a 15-year background in business development and consulting and a degree in physics into the issues surrounding extraterrestrial-related phenomena. His point of entry was a five-month stint working for the Program for Extraordinary Experience Research, PEER, and founded by the late John Mack at Cambridge, Massachusetts. And it's just got an incredibly extensive background on this subject. In April 1997, he attended the press and congressional briefings conducted by Washington, D.C. by Stephen Greer and C. SETI. And during July 1997 events in Roswell, New Mexico, he assisted Stargate International in launching the petition for open congressional hearings on modem UFO evidence. This is part of an ongoing process to bring the United States Congress formally into the process of disclosure. So without any further ado, there is so much more here we have to talk about. I am going to introduce you to Stephen Greer. David. I mean, Stephen Bassett, excuse me. You know, you've got too much of a bio here, Mr. Greer. Mr. Greer's mixed in here, and Mr. Bassett, this is just too much for me here in this early in the morning.
Stephen spells his name S-T-E-V-E-N, mine's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, and that's one way we try to keep it straight, but the mistake is often made. Don't worry about it.
I'm so sorry. Mr. Bassett, you know, I have met you at conferences throughout the years. I've heard you speak, and I've always thought that your work was very interesting. You've always seemed to bring to the forefront a lot of information that you don't hear elsewhere. Today we're going to talk about what's been going on here for this last year in 2009. And the phones have been ringing over here off the wall, and it's been distracting me a little bit, so I want to apologize about that.
Sure.
What would you say, if you had to sum up the year of 2009, what would you say that we've been experiencing here? Would you say that the cover-up is still in place as it always has been?
Well, first of all, I don't refer to it as a cover-up. I refer to it as a truth embargo. And the reason I do that is because the decision to withhold the facts, the fundamental truth of an ET presence engaged in the human race by the government was not illegal. It's never been illegal. So that's not a cover-up. Cover-up implies the suppression or sequestration of illegal activity. And this is an important distinction. I try to make it. So the truth embargo is still in place, but it's near its end. The energy and the money that was put into it was substantial, extensive, and it was very effective. And it ran formally from 1952, and I think they sort of really stopped, how would you say, maintenancing it or putting new money and energy into it around 1999. So for the last 10 years, we've been somewhat, I guess you could say, the truth embargo has sort of been coasting, just sort of moving forward under its own momentum, but is about to come to a screeching halt.
And why is that?
Like all things, like all good things, right, it must come to an end.
What's going to bring it to this end?
Yeah, no, many things. The overall concept is that the government did not, U.S. government and its allies did not feel that they could openly engage the ET issue while the Cold War was going on, and they knew that pretty much right at the beginning. So that was pretty much the deal that until this issue with the Soviet Union is resolved and we no longer have all these thousands of nuclear warheads pointing at each other, threatening a nuclear war, which would have destroyed a good deal of the human race before it was done, when it was all said and done, the ET issue had to remain sequestered. And their investigation of the ET technology and any contact they're having with these extraterrestrials would remain obviously part of the national security intelligence world, not our world. Once the Cold War ends, however, the fundamental basis for maintaining the embargo is gone. The barrier to ending it is lifted. And then it's a question of how much longer will it continue. I mean, it was assumed that it would not simply end immediately. The Cold War starts coming to an end as the breakup of the Soviet Union gets underway. You've got, of course, the unification of Germany, and then they outlawed the Communist Party on Christmas Day in 1991. George H.W. Bush was president.
When was that? Why was in Russia?
In Russia, and they outlawed the Communist Party. I mean, eventually they brought it back, but it was outlawed on Christmas Day in 1991, and that, to me, that sort of symbolizes the final end. By then, the republics had all separated out, and you didn't have a Soviet Union anymore, and then there was no Communist Party, at least no legal one. at that point.
That was a short duration, though, wasn't it?
Well, it you know, it's still around, but Russia is not a communist nation, and the missiles were detargeted. So technically, and then, you know, they immediately became our ally, and we started sending them lots of money. That's what we do. So the Cold War was over, and George H.W. Bush was president.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly knew about the ET presence, given his background. But it wasn't like they were just going to be able to do it immediately. We also entered very quickly into a war in Kuwait, and the whole oil thing became a big deal. So it didn't happen under H.W. Bush, and then Bill Clinton won the next election. So ultimately what happens, of course, is that 18 years have now gone by, almost 19 years, really, in which the embargo still hasn't been lifted. And the question is, when will it happen? Well, with the barrier of the Cold War lifted to ending the truth embargo, the pressure on the embargo has just grown exponentially since 91. And we could spend all day listing all the things that have happened, but the upshot is that the pressure on the government to act is becoming insurmountable, coming from all directions, other countries, from within government itself. Certainly citizen actions, a disclosure movement that's underway. All of this is making it very difficult to maintain this much longer. So it's simply coming to an end. It's life span is over. Everything has a beginning and an end, so does this. So the question remains is when? When will we finally end this truth embargo? Same thing for the Cuban truth embargo. I mean Cuban embargo. When will the embargo of Cuba end? Well, we don't know yet, but we know that the pressure on that embargo is great and that there's indications that something may happen there soon. So nobody would be surprised if the government announced next week that they decided to lift the embargo on Cuba and start maintaining normal commercial ties with it. Same thing with the UFO truth embargo. It could be lifted at any time, and the pressure on.
Do you feel the Obama administration is interested in lifting it?
What we know is the Democratic Party gave many indications that they're about to engage this issue.
And what are those indications?
What are they? Well, this goes all the way back to the Rockefeller Initiative. But the upshot is that
the Rockefeller Initiative was what? For those of us who are ignorant
Lawrence
about
Rockefeller,
that.
Rockefeller, the billionaire, a friend of the Clinton family. He was not a political guy. He was he's business, made a lot of money, but he was also very much interested in paranormal and UFOs and all of this stuff. He gave money to Setzer Institute, I believe. He gave money to John Mack, Colin Andrews, and a number of other groups. He's one of the benefactors of this field. We needed more Lawrence Rockefeller.
Which Rockefeller are we talking about?
Lawrence. He's one of the brothers, but he's not as well known. Laurance. And you can learn about this very easily. Simply go Google. So your listeners can Google Rockefeller Initiative. Bingo. It'll all come up. So this billionaire tried to get Bill Clinton to be the disclosure president in 1993 and 96. And a lot of people in the Democratic Party, big players, who knew this and they were aware of it. They even were involved in this effort. It didn't work, but many of these people continue to be major people in the Democratic Party. One of the individuals that was aware of the Rockefeller Initiative was John Podesta. And in 2002, that's when he came forward and called for the UFO files to all be released. Hillary Clinton was involved in the Rockefeller Initiative, and she's now Secretary of State. Leon Panetta was the Chief of Staff. He was fully aware of the initiative, and he's now the head of the CIA. Bill Richardson was aware of the initiative, and they tried to appoint him Secretary of Commerce. He's still, of course, the governor of New Mexico. And Richardson called for the release of all the UFO files, I mean, all the files related to Roswell. So we have a lot of indications that the Democrats have decided to do something here when they got back into power, and, of course, they just did. And that's kind of the state of things. Go ahead.
They just did?
I'm saying they just did get back into power.
All right. But have they showed any interest at this point in releasing anything?
Well, again, they're not gonna overtly indicate anything regarding the ET issue. That would generate a media storm. But the one thing they are doing still, even though it was a very bad year for the Democrats, in my opinion, and for the Obama administration, is that one of the key platforms that he ran on, Obama ran on, was open, transparent government. And they have taken a number of steps to alter the playing field with respect to open and to openness and transparency and classified documents and so forth. And this hasn't been covered that much, but it's happened. Obama just signed, near the end of the year, he signed an executive order creating a national declassification center as part of the National Archives with a certain mandate to start cranking out the documents, start getting stuff out in the open. It all includes the number of statements, not the least of which was that no documents can remain declassified forever, or unclassified forever. So if you want to learn about that, just Google National Declassification Center. And he's indicated they want to reform the Freedom of Information Act and operate open transparency. Now, these are measures they've taken, and they're primarily through presidential orders and memorandums. Now, the government itself has not been sufficiently open and transparent. And he's getting a lot of criticism for that. But I can assure you the Democrats would like to see disclosure happen, and the question is how they're going to do it. Now, there is a piece of breaking news that just has broken that I want to...
And what
to,
is that? We're fastening our seatbelts.
Yeah, no, fasten your seatbelts. When you look into the Rockefeller Initiative... If you go to Grant Cameron's website, presidentialufo.com, presidentialufo.com, or you go to my website, paradigmresearchgroup.org, particularly paradigmresearchgroup.org, and click on the quick link to Rockefeller Initiative, you will see a lot of material relating to the history of this. And one of the things that you will see is... We obtained through FOIA, I say we, Grant Cameron, through the Freedom of Information Act, photographs of Hillary Clinton meeting with Lawrence Rockefeller in 1995. We have news articles confirming this. So we know that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton went to his ranch in 1995 and met with him. And we were absolutely certain that when they were there, they were discussing the initiative to end the truth embargo, to bring out the files, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the photos, some of the photos that were obtained show Hillary Clinton walking through the woods there at the J.Y. Ranch in Wyoming with Lawrence Rockefeller. And she has a book in her arm. And efforts have been underway for a while to find out what book this was, because we felt it was relevant. Well, we have found out. In an article published today on the Open Minds .tv website, openminds.tv website. Alejandro Rojas has reported that they have confirmed the book, and you can actually read this article. You have to go to openminds.tv, and by checking a lot of books, they have found the book she has in her arms, and the book she has in her arms is by Paul Davies, the astrophysicist called Paul Davies, and it is Are We Alone? Right, philosophical implications on the discovery of extraterrestrial life. That is the book on her in her arms as she is walking through the woods with Lawrence Rockefeller in 1995. This completely confirms what we knew to be the case, that they were in discussion with Rockefeller about this issue while they were there, and of course we have confirmation of the initiative. This is going to be substantial news, I alert your listeners to that. There's something else that just happened. This is somewhat off topic, but let me just mention it. I do that because one of the points I'm trying to make is that the internet and all of its tools and facets is, and of course the fact that it's being engaged by hundreds of millions of people, the internet is putting enormous pressure on this truth embargo and on government in general. It is an incredibly empowering tool, and people are using it in every which way they can.
And, yes, it's made a huge difference.
It's going to change the world, no question, and I think it will change the world for the better.
And I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for a moment.
Okay.
Because we're going to take a short break and give our listeners a chance to catch their breath. There's a lot coming, folks, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break. And remember, we are not alone. That is for sure, and pretty soon it's going to be verified. That's right. All those non-believers out there are going to get the surprise of their life when the information comes forth, and it's coming forth very soon. So stay tuned, because there's more to come on this information embargo being lifted. We're with Stephen Bassett. I'm Aurora Light, and we'll be right back after this short message.
Hello, everyone. This is Bill Alec. In this new book that just premiered at the Academy of Arts and Sciences in Hollywood, California, delves into our connection with human-appearing extraterrestrials. In Prepare for the Landings, authors Michael Elejon and Aurora Light go into their long-standing contacts and what's in store for all of us here on planet Earth. In Prepare for the Landings, you will learn why this planet has been quarantined and how the ET connection to the Bible and other ancient writings has been deliberately suppressed. Go to prepareforthelandings.com and prepare yourself for the coming shift of the ages taking place right now. That's prepareforthelandings.com. Get your copy today and don't be left behind. Go to prepareforthelandings.com.
Hidden deep within you is an unstoppable power. If you want to deepen your relationships, supercharge your productivity, and enjoy more life energy than you've felt in years, then visit letnothingstopyou.org to learn more about Secrets of Being Unstoppable by Guy Finley. This new audio program will give you the knowledge you need to enjoy the happiness and success your heart longs for. That's Guy Finley's Secrets of Being Unstoppable at letnothingstopyou.org.
Hello, this is Paul McNeese of OPA Author Services. For a long time, I've believed that every author should be a speaker and every speaker should write. So today, I'm here to let you know that if you're an author or a speaker, trainer, consultant, coach, or seminar leader, there's a new nest being built just for you at AuthorsRoost.com. The Author's Roost is a new concept, a new idea, an internet membership organization, and a portal website that brings authors, speakers, and experts together with each other, with lots of great information and education, and with their marketplaces, including media all over the country, and with local, regional, and national meeting planners, people who hire speakers every day. The Author's Roost is definitely going to be a place where you can learn and teach and grow by interacting with others who, like you, are willing to share their ideas and experience. So, take a look right now at The Author's Roost, AuthorsRoost.com. I think you'll be very glad you did.
Believe in yourself. AchieveRadio.com. On PowerHits.com.
When the rain comes pouring down, I turn the page. Bring tomorrow. Oh, oh. When the cold stays in this heart too long, I turn the page. Spring will follow.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Aurora Light. You're listening to VNN Vortex Network News. And our special guest today, Stephen Bassett, who is one of the foremost authorities on disclosure of extraterrestrial and UFO information, helping to get this information released to the public that has for so long been locked up. And we were talking about some very exciting things here in the first half of the show, but stay tuned. The best is yet to come. Stephen, we left off here talking about a number of interesting things. Where would you like to pick up here?
Well, we were discussing, I was talking about how the Internet is going to be a major factor in the unfolding of the some of these issues. Mm-hmm. It's putting a huge pressure on the cover-up, I'm sorry, on the truth embargo, and the cover-up of in other areas, because there are some things out there which are, in fact, illegal and are being covered up. So this is one of the things that gives me optimism, and I just mentioned the fact that it's now been confirmed that the book that Hillary Clinton was carrying while, when she was visiting Lawrence Rockefeller with her husband, Bill Clinton, the president, in 1995, has now been determined to be the book Are We Alone by Paul Davies, the astrophysicist, Philosophical Implications on the Discovery of Extraterrestrial Life. So, and if the facts on Washington.org, one of the key questions that we are demanding the White House press corps to start asking would be for the Secretary of State to start discussing the entire Rockefeller Initiative and what went on, what her involvement was, and what her president's thoughts were about it, and so forth. He was president of the United States. She was the first lady. Now she's Secretary of State. The idea that that is not a legitimate and important question is pure, unadulterated idiocy. And so anybody wants to make the case that there's no question there, they can, but I have no time for them. They're morons. So it's time to move on here, and we now have that done. It was provided to Open Minds at Open Minds TV. One of their people in their forum had been working on it and finally found the book. This effort has been going on for several years. Grant Cameron, the lead researcher on presidents and UFOs, probably knows about it right now. But, I mean, this is a significant piece.
I'm not familiar with Grant Cameron.
Grant Cameron is the leading researcher in the world on the UFO, the relationship between UFO-ET issue and U.S. presidents. And his website is presidentialufo.com. It's the most extensive site on the subject. You could spend weeks there.
Very interesting.
Yeah, you want to go there. So, and the other thing is, I just found, for the first time, I have seen video on YouTube, and I expect we're going to see more of this. And this video on YouTube is showing a number of airplanes, high-altitude jets, operating over a country in South America, I believe. And it shows, these are high-altitude planes. It's hard to tell whether they're commercial airliners or military planes, but in any event, you see jet trails being turned off and on. In other words, they're flying without
trails. You mean the chemtrails?
The trail comes on. Yeah. This is the first time I have ever seen this. I suspect we're going to see more of this. And if these videos are true and they are compelling here, I would be astounded if this is a hoax. They clearly show that these trails are not atmospheric, that they are, in fact, being turned off and turned off by the plane. If more of this video turns up...
Are you talking about chemtrails right now? I'm talking about chemtrails. Yeah, well, the chemtrails, we've all known about for the last 20 years.
Well, you know, when you say we've all known about it, the vast majority of people don't know about it, and the vast majority of people don't think it's an issue. In the world that you and I are somewhat familiar with, it's an issue that's been in play. But it's virtually not covered in the news. The government has never made, will not make any announcements about it. There's been no response about it, and it's nowhere been
resolved. That's correct.
That's correct.
There's been quite an truth embargo, as you would call it.
Yeah, another embargo. So in terms of anything really compelling, we haven't had anything. This video is compelling. So I expect more of this to turn up. More and more people are filming these things, making effort to film. And so we're probably going to get more film of planes flying in which they're generating a chemtrail and then they're not.
Oh, yeah, we have film footage of that right here at VNN. In fact, last night, Michael Elijan, one of our associates, he did a channeling that was that went into it and talked about the fact that, you know, this worldwide effort to blanket us in chemicals, the ETs are well aware of course, and have been cleaning it up, so to speak, so that we're not affected by these negative chemicals as much as we normally would be.
I can't personally
it's been,
speak to that.
In this channeling, they said upstairs that the chemtrail program is failing. They're about to give up on it.
Okay. Again, I can't speak to that. But from a political standpoint, in terms of it's being engaged by the political media and and trying to get the government on record here, this kind of evidence is the kind of evidence that would do this. This one video, for instance, I think was posted August 5th, so it's been up about 5 months, but it just came to my attention. And so here is another example of how the Internet and the ability for citizens to film and then promote and publicize and spread information about things that are going on that normally they simply wouldn't have the ability to do is going to make it more and more difficult for governments to play these games with us and screw around with the world around us without us challenging them. This is a very important matter for those that are looking ahead and trying to decide what's going to happen to human civilization during the 21st century. And it's one of the few things, frankly, that to me gives rise to serious optimism. The Internet is it. I mean, it's the most important invention in human history, and it is going to change the world. So,
the world dramatically already.
It's already, but I think it's only just started. It's only really been in play for about 15 to 17 years. Which is nothing in the scheme of things. So.
Mm-hmm.
And its power, its scope, its range, and what you can do on it is only just being explored.
Well, Clifford Carnican's website on chemtrails has been one I've been directing people to for many years. It's an excellent website on if you want to find out what's going on with the chemtrails. He's got a lot of great information on that, and that's Carnicom, CARNICOM.com. So somebody put up a video, and you feel that this video is somehow more relevant than many, many of the other videos that people have been putting up for 20 years?
Relevance is not necessarily the word. The term is this is a kind of crisp evidence. That a political reporter working in Washington would pay attention to. It's unambiguous. And so as this information spreads, as this video gets more in play, we might see the issue start to get engaged in Washington. Politically, well, and again, if there's any connection at all between chemtrails and ETs, then it's an exopolitical matter. I don't know that yet, so I have to remain neutral there. But the point is that it is of a similar type to the UFO truth embargo, and the political consequences are significant. When the people learn that the government has in fact suppressed the reality of this for 60 years, it's going to be a huge eye opener, and it's going to result in a significant reassessment of governmental policies and institutions, because it's obviously a huge issue, very implicative, and what have you. Okay, well, the chemtrail thing is almost in that category in a somewhat different way.
It happens to be my number one biggest beef right now.
Gotcha.
The chemtrails. Looking up every day and watching them chemtrail the skies nationwide, as I travel all over, I see it everywhere, and it's just I don't know. It's heartbreaking to think that they're actually spraying us, aerosol spraying us with Agent Orange, mustard gas, beryllium, aluminum, and many other toxic elements. And I've even heard of them chemtrailing organic farms right over them over and over and over again. So they block out the sun, and the organic farms fail. And they have been blocking out the sun here in the United States and around the world in different areas for quite some time. They can also create droughts. They can create rain. They can control the weather with this technology as well.
This is not something that I know. What I'm aware of, that I don't know that. It may be true.
I've been studying it for quite some time, and it's very obvious that they are managing the weather.
My point is a little more general, and that is that the governments do a lot of things, and that irritate people. Overall, though, particularly American people, have not really done much about it. Generally, the government does what it does, and the people just take it.
Right.
But this issue of spraying, whatever the reason that is going on, if it becomes known that the government has been authorizing spraying of anything up there for specific purposes without our consent and without informing us, and maybe without reforming the Congress, I don't know. That is almost at the level of the ET issue, which is to say that if it's confirmed, it is going to generate a very substantial response from the
people. Well, Stephen, may I stop you there for 1 second? You know,
yeah.
Michael Elejon and I, we've gone to city council meetings in many different places, talked about the government spraying program. They were well aware of it, and they said it's a federal program and there's nothing they could do about it.
Again, when I say aware, I'm talking about the general public. I'm talking about this thing being a burning issue in the New York Times. I'm talking about
that would be interesting.
The news saying, what the hell is going on here? If it comes to that level and becomes an actual national...
It's not like they don't know about it, Stephen. They do know about
the chemtrails. The issue is not whether they know about it or not. It's whether or not it is, in fact, an engaged issue or not. All right?
Right.
If it becomes an engaged issue in the political scene in Washington, then the public... And so that the general public becomes informed. Because, again, if you were to go up to 1,000 people on the street... I'm not sure how many would know what you were talking about. It's probably...
I've gone so far as to hand out flyers at Costco and Sam's Club on a Saturday morning to inform people about this. And, you know, I've handed out thousands of flyers on it, never gotten one phone call back. People are afraid to acknowledge the fact that this is really going on.
Either they're afraid, or again, within their worldview and the status of things these days, they don't consider it important enough. Whatever the reason, they're not engaging it. If that changes, then the chemtrail issue is on a par with the UFO issue and could help to significantly spur a true reexamination of our government institutions and policies, and help lead to what we ultimately have to have, and that is we've got to have a reform of the secret empire. This is essential. The military intelligence classified world has become so huge, so deep, so dark, that regardless of the intentions of the people there, and I think most all the people working in it are well-intentioned. They want to do the best for their country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they're part of this vast complex, which is it's very departmentalized. Most sections within it don't know what other sections are doing. And so the potential for screw-ups, the potential for things to go wrong, is growing with each passing year. And the size of it is growing with each passing year. And what's particularly disturbing about it, and this may seem trivial, but it's actually not, is that because of the Cold War, and because of the advancement of technology, our ability to create underground facilities became quite enhanced. And as a result...
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to have quite a large one here right under Sedona.
I'm sorry?
It's been reported to me by people that we have quite a large one here right under Sedona.
Oh, yeah. You hear reports about facilities almost everywhere. The point is that this ability to go underground is non-trivial because it allows the secret empire and the covert world to not only simply operate in a covert way, but to literally operate completely away from, in terms of research facilities, operational facilities, communication facilities, operate literally underground. Not symbolically, but really underground. And this is non-trivial. And so the secret empire, I like to describe it, it's literally the basement of the house of state. We often hear about the ship of state. Well, think of it as a house of state. And the house of state, it's over the last 50, 60 years, has generally not changed that much. We've added a couple of wings here and there, renovated the dining room, did some landscaping. But the point is, the house of state is about the way it was 60 years ago. However, the basement of the house has grown and grown. It has gone down level after level after level. And so you've got this three-story house maybe sitting on above ground, and beneath it you've got 200 floors in the basement. And, of course, the basement is expanded out in all directions. And so you've got this grotesque situation where, in the house of state there's a door that goes to this basement, and nobody's got the lock. Nobody knows how to open it. And down in that basement is 100 floors of who knows what. And up in the house of state, we're starting to hear all these weird noises coming from down below. And suddenly, strange odors wafting up from underneath us. And we're becoming a little concerned. What's going on down there? But we can't do anything about it because
what's happening to 100,000 children a year disappearing in the United States alone?
It's another issue. Not an issue.
Yes.
But
it ties in with the ET phenomena cover up too.
You think?
Oh yeah.
That would be a
definitely a tie in to the missing children and the ET cover up.
Well, when you say tie in, are you saying that your view is that extraterrestrials are taking these children?
Well, I think the negative extraterrestrials that our government's been working with for the last 50, 60 years that are the ones at Area 51 and all their underground bases, I think there's a lot going on there with the children. I think they're being taken off the planet as well as into these facilities. I have known some people who have had interactions with people who have escaped from these facilities. Very few ever do, but there have been a few who have, and they've come forth and told their stories, and they're really, they'll curl your hair. So there's a lot going on there in these underground facilities, and there's a lot of experiments going on to create these Manchurian candidates type of individuals, as well as genetic experiments with animals and humans and all kinds of things going on in these underground facilities that are something that's that it's diabolical, really. There's no other word for it.
Let me say this. Within my purview, my field, or what I'm doing, I can't speak to that. I don't know. I personally don't
know. Well, certainly you've heard all about it.
I have heard these theories. Right, but I don't know myself.
Bob Lazar, of course, came out. He was one of the most famous people to come out and talk about it.
But if it is happening, if that is happening, then the exopolitical implications of the ET phenomena are even that much greater. Which is to say,
of course, yes.
When people wonder, isn't that important, or we don't really need to pay attention to this. We've got other things to do, or the government has got more important things to do than address this issue, I've always contended, well, no, there is no more important issue in the world today than this.
I agree.
Clearly, if ETs are involved in that kind of activity, then the absolute sooner we have fully ended the truth embargo and start completely engaging the entire scope of the ET phenomena.
Well, I'd like to say, you know, there are negative ETs and there are positive ETs, just like there are people here on Earth who are negative and positive. So, you know, I'm not saying that all extraterrestrials are negative by any means. I've had contact with very positive ones.
Yeah, well, there's negative and they're negative, right? I mean, you know, there's negative like, gee, some of them have a bad attitude, and there's negative like, no, some of them are taking our children and not bringing
them
back. Well,
what I'm saying is that there's positive ETs out there, too, who are part of a federation of worlds that we are excluded from, quarantined from, because of the warlike nature of our leaders. And, they don't want to give them technology to further enslave us.
All right. Well, that raises some interesting issues. If there's positive ETs out there that are offended by our negative behavior, then they should equally be offended by other ETs' negative behavior.
And they are, and that's why there's a war in space going on and has been going on for millions of years. And these night vision glasses, I'd like to address that for a moment with you. These night vision glasses out there that people are clearly seeing extraterrestrial, or let's just put it this way, spaceships engaging one another and actually blowing each other up. Have you looked into that at all?
I have.
And what's your take on that?
I'm not convinced of extraterrestrial spacecraft blowing each other up, but what I have seen is interesting. There's no question that the night vision technology could be very important to this issue if it gets more prominent.
Well, that's one of the reasons they're chemtrailing the sky so heavily at night, because they don't want us to be able to see with the night vision glasses this war that's going on right above our heads. And I don't know exactly who's engaging who up there, but I would imagine that it's the Federation engaging the renegade ETs who have been, you know, who we are well aware of, that our government has been working with for quite some time. But we're getting close to the end here. Our hour is going by very quickly here. So I know there's some points you'd like to make before we have to end this for today, but we can pick it up again another time.
I wanted to get a couple things to your listeners.
Okay. All right.
One is that the facts on Washington is now in resurgence. I just sent out an international press release on it to about 5,000 radio and television stations and newspapers, making it clear that we're continuing to direct letters, faxes, and emails to the White House Correspondents Association, demanding that the press corps start asking tough questions of the administration about this issue. Finally, they never have. And you can participate
very
in that
good.
By going to fact. I'm sorry?
I said that's very good.
Yeah, and you can participate by going to facts on Washington, faxonwashington.org. Mm-hmm. The other point is that the X conference is almost certainly back on. We hope to have the contract signed in about a week. The previous
hotels
have paid, and I'm sorry?
When will that be?
It will be, hope to reschedule it for May 8th and 9th, May 8th, 9th, and we will hold the conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., two blocks from the White House.
You're going to hold the conference
at
the Press Club?
The website will go active in about 7 days. I'm sorry?
You're going to hold the conference at the Press Club?
Yeah, it'll be the first time that a conference on this material has ever been held there. There have been press conferences at the Press Club about this.
Very interesting.
The important ones, but not a conference.
And people can go to your website for more information. That's paradigmresearchgroup.org. And you've been listening to Stephen Bassett, who, as you can see, is plugged into the political end of the extraterrestrial phenomena. And thank you so much for being here with me today. We're learning a lot from you, and we'll hope to have you back again soon so we can delve deeper into the subject.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much. And those of us out there who have had extraterrestrial contact, like myself, Stephen, it looks like I have a little more time here. My cue is off. Apparently not. Okay. All right. Well, we got a little technical stuff going on here today. So
well,
Stephen,
I do have
thank
to run.
You again.
I've got a 10 o'clock.
Thank you so much.
I've got a 10 o'clock interview. So I got to have to go in a...
Thank you so much for being with us. And those of you out there who have had extraterrestrial experiences, I know there's all types of different ET contact going on out there for myself.
Masters.com. Health Galleria sells many fine products, including books and DVDs that channel the Masters. KM Botanical. Now, this stuff I've been taking myself. They also sell Qi Balls, Eculite, Far Infrared Sauna, Portable Tankless Oxygen, Himalayan Pink Salt Mill Grinders, Qi Exerciser, and many other fine products that can be found at Health Galleria under channelforthemasters.com. That's Health Galleria.
Caddy, Winchester here. You know, back in the 1870s, there weren't much book learning. Matter of fact, if you could read, you were considered right educated. And if you had any books, you were always welcome at many a campfire. Through books, we've met the kings and queens of Europe, sought out the mysteries of the Orient, followed on the conquests of the Romans and the Greeks, and sailed the seven seas.